Guys, today Josh is interviewing our very first guest on the podcast. Her name is Amanda Hedgepeth, and I am such a fangirl. She is one of the most joyful, determined businesswomen I've ever met. She is very authentic in everything she does, and I know that is a buzzword that everyone uses, but guys, she is the real deal. So listen up and enjoy today's episode.
You're listening to the Full-Time Hustle Podcast, an audio resource about life and business. Geared towards the creative entrepreneur, Full-Time Hustle is all about sharing time-tested methods and tips about everything small business related. From sales and marketing, all the way to accounting and client interaction, Full-Time Hustle covers everything you want to know about how to get things done. Turn your side hustle into a full-time hustle. For more resources, visit us online at fulltimehustle.net. Today's episode is brought to you in part by 17 Hats. 17 Hats is the premier online-based small business management software that does everything from invoicing to books to even keeping track of your contracts. Do what you do best and let 17 Hats do the rest. To get 10% off your first subscription, visit 17hats.com/card/full-time-hustle. That's 17hats.com/card/full-time-hustle for a free 17-day trial and 10% off your first subscription. Or simply apply the coupon full-time-hustle in your account settings. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. Well, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Full Time Hustle. We are having such a good time with this podcast, and I want to talk to you a little bit about our guest today. Her name is Amanda Hedgepeth. She's the founder and the owner of Amanda Hedgepeth Photography.
Yes, and she's an award-winning photographer. Her business, she operates it full-time in the Outer Banks of North Carolina and focuses mainly on weddings, couples, and small businesses.
All right, now check this out. In 7 short years, Amanda's built quite an amazing Instagram following. 14,000 followers, actually, to be exact. She's been featured on the Today Show, countless blogs, articles, wedding websites, you name it, featuring her signature style.
And she and her husband have 3 amazing and adorable little girls, Cammy, Ellie, and Autumn. And when she isn't taking pictures or speaking at a conference or helping a fellow mom entrepreneur, your best chance at finding her is on the sandy beaches and salty air of the beautiful Outer Banks of North Carolina.
So tell me about, how did you find Amanda Hedgepeth? I remember how I found out about her. How did you find her?
You know, I don't remember exactly. It was definitely like through Facebook. I would always see this extremely happy, yellow, sunshiny girl named Amanda in like the Facebook forums for photographers locally. And, you know, I'll admit, at first I wondered if it was fake because she was so happy.
You're just like, and how could anybody be that happy?
Yeah. Like, she never complained. She just had this eternal like joy in her. And as I got to know her more, she is just that joyful. She chooses to always look at the bright side. And I love that. Like, that is such a powerful thing. It's very obvious in her business. If you take one look at her website,
yep,
all you see is sunshine and salt air and like the things that she loves and her kids. And I love that positivity.
It's awesome.
And that joy. And it's not a front with her. She is truly that genuine. I think I first actually like met her and got to know her. It was either I did mentoring with her.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. And then I also did a workshop that she did. I don't remember which one came first, but I learned a ton from both of them. And she is the real deal. Like, she doesn't just, you know, say that she teaches or that she's a photographer. Like, she does everything in her life at 100%.
I remember a few years ago there was a certain local video production company that I idolized, and their name is The Girl Tyler.
And yes, I love them.
Like, good friends with them now. I still idolize them, honestly. I mean, yes. They are amazing at what they do.
We're fangirls.
but we're good friends now. Like, we talk and hang out. I mean, they did a video for Amanda, and I remember watching that promo and just thinking, like, oh man, like, they really sold her well. They really told a great story. Like, this is somebody that I would want to get to know.
And you know what's neat? Tying those two together, they did that promo when she only had one daughter. And she lived up here. She lived in Virginia Beach mm-hmm. and not in the Outer Banks. And like, in a lot of ways, her life is completely different now.
So
but
different.
That video could still follow the same storyline because mm-hmm. who she is and their marriage and their view on parenting and business, like it's all still so genuine. It's exactly the same at the heart of it. Even though their lives have moved on to bigger and better things, they still have the same heart at the middle of everything.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, we got pretty lucky. We were able to tie her down for a few minutes and get her on the phone. So let's jump right in. This is our interview with Amanda. All right. So with us today, we have Amanda Hedgepeth of Amanda Hedgepeth Photography. We're talking over FaceTime audio. She's in the Outer Banks. I'm here in Hampton. How's it going, Amanda?
It's going good. Thank you so much for having me. Hi from the Outer Banks.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to, just for a second, make a big deal out of this. I know that you're slammed. You have a family. It's a really big deal for you to take this time away. And I just really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. We know we're going to learn some awesome things today. So just thank you from us and hundreds of our closest friends.
Yay! That's amazing. Thank you.
Okay. So how long have you're a photographer. And, you know, when we're talking today, we're going to be obviously addressing a lot of these questions, not just from the viewpoint of a photographer, but also a business owner and what other business owners, maybe that even aren't in this industry, can gain from it. But just tell me, like, how long have you been in the industry?
Okay, so this year marks 7 years, which I keep adding this number up and I'm like, I do not know how that's possible at all because it doesn't feel, I still feel like this is like year three, but 7 years.
No, and I get it. Now, how did you get into this? Like, what sparked the interest to go for photography?
This is so funny because I've read so many bios and people saying, you know, this is what I wanted to do ever since I was a little girl. And I'm like, oh, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a teacher or a waitress. And that's all I wanted to do. It was hilarious. So this is funny. But my husband and I started dating and I had not ever dated someone as nice as him, someone who made me that happy. So I had a little point and shoot camera and I was the person, now this is before Instagram, who would document every pizza, every dinner, margarita, every date. We did the selfies with the camera turned around and like nailed it. We were so good at it. And so I just started documenting things that were bringing me joy for the first time in my life. And honestly, he was like, you just love taking pictures. Maybe I should get you a nice camera. And it was just this really random thing. And then all of a sudden, I got a little bit nicer camera and started taking nicer pictures. It literally all began just because somebody finally treated me well and I was falling in love. And it makes me happy that that's how it started. It sounds corny, but I'm sorry. It was like the best way to start because he just inspired me. So
okay, now all the photography gearheads that are listening to this are asking one question, like, what kind of camera was it?
The first one was like a Sony something something. Then the second was
like just like a little point and shoot.
Oh yeah. But then he goes, I think you need something a little nicer. And I'm like, so we're broke and we live in Ward's Corner in Norfolk in an apartment that's $600 a month to rent. We can't afford that. So I don't know what you're thinking. But he ended up getting me a Canon Rebel and it was a T1i. So that first
nice.
Model.
So that's just kind of like an entry level DSLR, like the kind of bottom of what you need if you're going to do anything professionally.
So great to learn on.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I learned on that. And you know what's funny? You can look back at some of those pictures when I switched from the kit lens to the 50 millimeter 1.4.
Yep.
And they're not so bad. They're really not so bad.
Susan built Fowler Photo, because that's what it was at the time. It was not Fowler Studios. She built Fowler Photo on a Nikon D3000, which a lot of people would laugh at, but we could show you images from that. We could show anybody images from that. I'd be like, this was taken on a crop frame, tiny little camera that now you could buy brand new for $250 if you could even find one.
Oh my gosh.
The whole kit.
The kit.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, the bag,
like
all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think ours was somewhere close to that when we bought it, and that was in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you remember anything about your first client? Remember who your first client was, the first person that paid you to take their pictures?
okay, that paid me. Well, I was going to say my first clients were all my poor friends who have these terrible, like terribly edited pictures, bless their sweethearts. I don't remember my first paid session client, but I remember my first wedding clients.
Okay.
And the best part about that story is that they got married at the Lesnar, and I had been waiting tables at Bubba's, and I had been waiting tables and looking up at those people getting married and those photographers. And I was like, I want that. I want that. I want to be a photographer. I want to shoot there. Okay, and that is where my first wedding was.
Now tell me, okay, so there's a lot of people listening that aren't from the Hampton Roads area. So tell us a little bit about the Lesnar and about Bubba's.
Oh, the Lesnar is this, I love it. It's a wedding venue on the water in Virginia Beach and near Shore Drive. Okay. And Bubba's is the restaurant that's kind of attached to it, and the owners own all of that. But I always worked on the top deck of Bubba's, you know, watching the sunsets, carrying really heavy trays of crab legs. And I just would look up and be like, look at these weddings, because they're on the deck right there. And I would just like, oh, I wanted it so bad. It's a beautiful place. I love it. I love that job though. It was amazing.
Now, when you did your first wedding, this was, I mean, obviously it's something that you loved. You're having fun with it. There's probably a part of you that was thinking like, I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. I've certainly, yes. actually, if you want to know the truth, I still say that to myself sometimes when I'm at wedding. I'm like, 100%. I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. But can you remember what it was like, when you did your first wedding, were you thinking already like, I want to do this full time? Or was this just like, let's just see how this goes. Maybe I'm going to do this part time. Like, what was your career mindset around that time? Do you remember?
I have the most unconventional way of transitioning to full time. And when I shot that wedding at the Lesnar, I had to force myself to go full time without being prepared at all, because the other job I was working said, no, you've got to be here on Saturdays. And I said, no, I've got this wedding on a Saturday in February. I need the day off. And they said, no, you can't have it off. And so I said, all right, I guess I'm quitting. And it was like the most unplanned, unconventional way to go full time, no strategy, but something told me I would be okay. I had enough session clients to bring in the amount of money steadily that I was making at the other job that I had to quit. So I was like, I'll be okay. Everything will be okay. Definitely not well planned, but I was forced into it. Yep. So that first wedding was like, all right, I hope this worked out. But it did. It really did.
Wow. Now, I'm not looking for anything in particular here. I just honest answer, like, are you as passionate about doing like the family sessions and those small sessions in between as you are about doing the weddings? Or like what kind of really revs your engine in the photography world?
All of it. And the reason, like, we do small business photography, we do weddings, and we do family sessions, but we do primarily family sessions of people who are vacationing on the Outer Banks. So it's like that week of the year that they've been looking forward to, and they are just laid back. The kids are throwing sand in each other's eyes. It's amazing. It's hilarious. But all of it is my favorite, because it's not even about what I'm shooting anymore at all. It's just that these people who are our people, who are just like our perfect fit, are the ones who are coming to us. So I have fun equally doing all of it. I will say I get really tired at the end of wedding days now, because I like to go to bed at like 9 o'clock. But besides that, yeah, if the exit's at 10, Mike's like, are you going to be okay? I'm like, yeah, man, I got adrenaline.
That's funny. That's hilarious. So
all of it. It's about the people for me, really.
So your jump into full-time photography really was just, it was unplanned. Like essentially they were just like, you can't have the day. So let me understand here. You asked for a Saturday off months in advance and they still said no.
Yep.
Wow. That's a tough place to be.
I was like, you do not need me. You just don't want me.
Let me
to
show
go.
You how much you don't need me right now. That's funny. When you did that, did you have any fear about it?
Yeah. And I was like, this is so stupid. But I also had no children and I was living Mike and I were always working so hard and we were always making it. Like, even if we just barely made it to the dollar, we made it. And I just was like, I don't know. I trust that we can do this somehow. And you also have to change. I'm a simple life girl. It's all about like changing kind of your lifestyle. You understand this too, because of me, Ramsey.
Absolutely.
But I never was a person that was like, I need to be able to spend a certain amount of money, live a certain way. I can hard knock life it. And so I knew we could do it. I knew it. But I was scared. So it was like, oh my gosh, this is dumb. I'm going to do it anyway.
Do you know about how long it was that you did this part-time before you jumped in, like just straight into full-time? Do you have any idea?
That I did photography part-time before jumping in?
Yeah.
So I got my camera in the spring before we got married in July 2010 is when we got married. So I went like half a year with like, kind of getting, just practicing with my camera. And then I only was like a couple of months before I had to end up going full time.
Wow. That is so awesome.
I didn't get a lot of time. Well, I have a waitress mentality and, you know, I have a college degree in medical billing and I went to college for social work. Nothing set me up for success as a business owner and a photographer more than waiting tables, because nobody can hustle like a waitress with a million tables and everybody needs everything in 5 minutes.
Wow. That is so cool to hear. And I've heard that before, but just to hear that again is awesome.
True.
I had a job, gosh, now it's been like 9 years ago, where I was in sales with this company in Atlanta. And the guy who owns that company is probably going to be a guest on the show at some point, but he waited tables and he would say the same thing. And
he would
just talk about how much, you had to hustle, you had to move. Like you just didn't have a choice.
Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And so in those early days when you're full time, were there some low points where you kind of second guessed the jump, where you're like, I don't know, maybe I made the wrong decision. I'm not sure if I can do this. Like, did any of that ever go through your mind?
You know what I want to say to make other people feel better that I did, but I didn't at all. And the funny thing is, the better I got, when year two and year three, when things were going great and I was getting better, that's when I started to be like, I don't know, like, am I good enough for this? Because I started to understand what I was doing better. And then like, I guess my expectations were just raised for myself. Like I all of a sudden was like, I could have done better. You know, I wasn't so laid back about it. It's funny it's funny how it works like that.
Wow. I know I'm saying wow a lot. I've actually not heard all this. I mean, I know your story pretty well. I know you pretty well, but I've not heard all this in this kind of detail and it's just blowing my mind. Like I love to hear it. So let's do this.
I think a lot of people know.
No, I mean, that's awesome. Okay. Let's fast forward to 2018. And things are quite a bit different. You're married. Yeah. I mean, you were married then, but you're married. You have three kids.
Yeah.
You don't live in the same place. You live in the Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Things are way different. And how did you end up in the Outer Banks?
Oh, this is my favorite story of all.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked.
It's the most, I hope that somebody hears this and they aren't afraid to make a life change because of it. So, We got married on the Outer Banks in 2010. Caitlin James shot our wedding. It was amazing. She was brand new out of college. It's always been my place. I mean, I vacationed here, and it's always felt like home more than Richmond, Virginia did, where I grew up, more than Hampton Roads did. And I love Hampton Roads for so many reasons, but it just felt like I was like still waiting to get home.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So one night we went to Harris Teeter and we only had Cameron and Ellie then. And Ellie was a brand new baby. And we got out of the car and Cameron looked up and she was just obsessed. She was only 2 and a half, but she was obsessed with like the stars and astronomy. And she was like, why don't we have stars where we live? I never see stars. And Mike and I went in the house and we were like, that girl needs the stars. We have got to move. And he just was like, is this crazy? And I was like, yeah, this is like crazier than going full time before you're ready. Let's move an hour and a half south and let's change our life. You know, that's where we're meant to be. And it meant he was going to have to commute, but we moved because she couldn't see the stars. And now that's like our favorite thing to do here. Go look at the stars together.
That's so crazy. And that, I mean, and you sound like you're kind of like a fearless optimistic. Like if you feel like you're supposed to do it, you're just kind of going for it. But now when you made that move, so like for all intents and purposes, your book of business was in Hampton Roads and then you packed up shop and moved an hour and a half south. Now, was that scary? Was that intimidating? Or you're just like, screw it, we're doing it.
Well, you know what? We were like flourishing in Hampton Roads. I always had a ton of weddings, a ton of sessions. I was so busy, but the Outer Banks is, if it was a bigger move somewhere else, I would have been more scared. But it's only an hour and a half, so we would always drive back for weddings. And we didn't have a lot our first year down there. But last year, we had a bunch. And I don't know, it wasn't far enough away to be like worried about business, because we weren't going to charge travel for those weddings.
Right.
But one thing I did that I never thought I was going to do was, when we moved here, I had stopped shooting families a while back. I was like, it's just not my thing. I'm just weddings and couples. And then we moved here and people were like, hey, we're going to be on vacation. It was like this constant email. So the first year I just referred them to other people. And then the second year I was like, no, this is a different, like, this is island time. We have salt air. People are like laid back. I think I want to do it. It's funny. It changed my business and I love it. I love it. I love the evolution of that.
One thing that I kind of observed from afar, and I thought this was really cool, when you moved down there, and I could be wrong about this. Maybe I'm making things up in my mind, but I feel like, you know, you didn't know a lot of people when you moved down there, and you were like, we've got to figure out a way to make this happen, or I've got to like get in this community or something like that. I can't remember what you said, but you posted this screenshot, and I'm just going off memory here, but you posted this screenshot of an email that you sent to like every vendor you could Google on the Outer Banks.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm just doing this. And it was said something like, I don't know, like if I had to summarize, it was like, hey, I'm Amanda and I'm moving here, so let's get to know each other.
So let's do this.
Something like that. And I was like, man, that's so cool. It's very bold.
Oh, it's not like me to be that bold, but I did it. See, I run on inspiration. If I get an inkling that I need to do or say something, I roll with it. Maybe that's not the wisest thing to do, but actually I like it because it makes me act authentically. So I emailed over 100 vendors and I just said, this is my name. Look, I'm legit. So if you need some pictures, or if you don't shoot this and you want to refer to me, if I don't shoot this and I want to refer to you, let's do it. It'd be great. It'd be great to connect with you. I just want to let you know, Amanda Hedgepeth has come to the Outer Banks.
That's so awesome. I feel like if people didn't hear anything else in this whole story, they could just hear that and be like, I just need to do that. I just need to kind of nudge my way in and be like, here I am. I'm ready to do business and it's going to be good.
Yes. I mean, because what I also wanted to do was offer, like, I'm somebody who can help you and would like to connect with you and help you if you need that. I just want to let you know that I'm not just coming here to take up all the sessions and whatever. I can be an asset to you. You can be an asset to me. I just would like to connect in that way. And it made me really nervous. And only 35 wrote back.
Oh, goodness.
But,
what do you mean only 35? Only 35 out of 100? It's a 35% response rate. It's huge.
You know what? I know. See, that's how I see it now. But when I look at the number, I say only 35. But that's actually pretty amazing when you think about it.
And yeah.
35 solid responses.
I think I would be like thrilled with 10. I mean, I don't know. I've never moved somewhere. I've never moved somewhere and just emailed 100 people. But I think if I did, if 10 got back to me, I'd be like, oh, man, that's a win. That's a huge win. 35 is like, to me, that's knocking it out of the park. That's, man, it's awesome.
Okay, you're way more optimistic than me, and I appreciate that. I do. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, so the reason that I wanted to switch gears and talk, like, we talked about the beginning of your career, and then we just straight fast-forwarded 2018, and the reason I did that is because I feel like you've turned into a bit of a guru on, like, time management and balancing work and life. And so here's what I get to. Tell us about how you keep things organized in your business and your life. Because you have three young daughters, you have a husband, you have a thriving business. How do you ensure that everything is running smoothly?
Okay, this is my bread and butter. This is my favorite thing to talk about because, you know, some people know their gear and some people know this and that. I am the person to come to when it's like, okay, so how do I do family and business? How do I do both? It is hard. And I will never be like, oh,
yes, it is.
Yes. I mean, I'll never be like, oh, it's easy. We got it down. It's not true. So, but what we did was we were in a bad place in our family life to be able to learn like what was missing, what we needed to do. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, when you're in a hard season and you're like, this sucks. Why is this happening to me? And then later you're like, wow, thanks God. I needed that.
Yep.
Like, I needed you to put me through that. And it's so crazy because at the time you would do anything to get out of it. So, big life changer there. So basically, Mike and I, when Ellie was born, so we only had two daughters at the time, we could not get it together. And he and I, if anybody knows us, we love each other very, very much. We are very affectionate. We are best friends. We are a team. But we had a rough spot. And it just was like constant miscommunication. Why do we have a late fee on that bill? Why did we miss the car registration? Why is the trash not taken out? Why is the laundry sitting in the washing machine for 3 days, you know, just wet? So it was stuff like that that kept adding up. So we came up with LifeFlow lists, and everybody talks about workflow. And I was all about Caitlin James talking about her workflow and other photographers that I love and admire talking about their workflow. And then one day I literally was like, we need LifeFlow, kind of as a joke.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, no, we need LifeFlow. So.
And you just came up with that phrase yourself.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'm not creative, so I just said LifeFlow, like workflow.
I mean, you don't need, it's super simple and it's very memorable.
It's to the point. It's become its own thing. And it's funny because people who don't even specifically have our list, they call their stuff that now. And I love it. I'm like, tag me in all the things. So we love it. Oh my gosh. I just get so proud of these people. So basically it was the choice to take our life back. No business, in my opinion, no business should be running well if your life is just falling apart in a mess.
Absolutely.
It almost can't. Like, and how fair is that to you, your kids, your husband, even your clients, because that's going to trickle over eventually. You might be able to pull it off for a little while. So we just made these lists, and we made like daily ones, weekly, monthly, yearly. Things that needed to get done daily were like switch the laundry out, take your vitamin, pay the bill that's due, simple stuff. And it's stuff that people go, well, yeah, of course. But you know what? The truth is, when you start bringing kids into your life, it is not that simple to remember simple things anymore.
Well, like, you're literally responsible for another human being. And in your case, three other human beings who fully rely on you for everything. Like you're putting food on their table, you're bathing them, you're clothing them. And even though they can eventually do some of that stuff on their own, you're the one that's responsible for it. You're the one that's setting it up. And it's not as easy as it sounds.
No. People go, of course you take a vitamin every day. I go, okay, well, have three kids and tell me if you always remember to do that.
I think the best habits can get broken because you're taking care of your kids. And I don't mean that in a mean way. Kids are amazing. They're just awesome. But things tend to fall by the wayside.
Yes, 100%. And it's not because you're not good enough at it. It's just because that is the natural order of how things are going to go when you're thinking for so many people. I mean, it's just too much. So he and I said, all right, it might seem a little ridiculous, but let's list out the things that we do weekly. So taking the trash out on Mondays and Thursdays, the things we need to do monthly, change the air filter. Oh my God, amen. We finally started changing the air filter.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, we were going 6 months. We would pull it out and it would look like there's actual like gray rabbits falling out of it. I was like, look at all that fluff. It was disgusting.
Here's what blows my mind about changing the air filter when you're supposed to. It actually makes your house quieter. Dead serious.
Yep.
Because you have that in there
Our
forever.
Unit outside.
And it's just like, and I'm like, what is that? And then you change the air filter and you're like, oh, it was that. Holy cow.
Yes. That's so funny you said that. I noticed that the other day when I was outside, because I usually walk outside in the morning and like look at the water and stuff. And I was like, I have not heard our AC unit the past week because we just changed it. So funny.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Okay. Now
it's
those
little stuff like that. Yeah.
And when I say there's a list for everything, literally there's a list for everything. I mean, if you can think of it, short of going to the bathroom, there's a list for everything. Okay. The LifeFlow list. And I should know the answer to this, but this is a system that you created. Do you sell those, right?
We started selling them in August because we had been getting emails for like 3 years of people asking us for them. And I said, Mike, we need to monetize this because we've just put so much work into it. And I'm shocked. Like it blew up. We had no idea. But you know what? We told people that there was a need for something, or we asked them, is there a need for this in your life? And we filled it. We gave them an answer, and it's been unbelievable.
Well, I think it was probably last summer or when we were going to, it was either when we were going to Boston or on one of the trips, or maybe we were visiting home. I honestly can't remember, but I came home one day and she goes, have you seen those LifeFlow lists Amanda talks about? I was like, yeah. She's like, well, I bought them. And I was like, oh, okay.
I was like,
that's cool. I was like, that's cool. And I didn't ask how much or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, like, she just jumped right into using them. And I was like, man, there really is like everything on here, because we were packing the suitcase, and it was like, I mean, everything. It was like toothbrush, kids' toothpaste, kids' toothbrush holder, you know, yeah. Like
bring medicine because you don't want to buy medicine.
Yeah, Tylenol, Motrin, mm-hmm. Dental floss, you know what? I mean, everything. And as I was going down through checking things off, I was like, man, this actually is really good. Like, it's really good. And good. Then we got to our next trip that we were going on, which again, I don't remember what trip it was, but then I didn't have a list. And automatically I felt this sense of entitlement. I was like, Susan, do you have the list? Where's the list? Why don't we have a list? We had a list last time. Can you call Amanda and get that list again?
Get the list out, Susan.
Yeah, and it does work.
So funny.
It's a big deal. How many lists are, like, so is it, you just pay one price, you get all the lists, or it's like a different, you know, how does it work?
Well, we have a couple different options. We're getting ready to release some new ones for photographers, which will be awesome. But what we've got going on right now is there's one entire collection, and you can buy, there's a couple different options, but we have one collection that encompasses all of them. So we've got a LifeFlow list bundle, and those are just like the day-to-day. We have a home, we have a home simplifying list in that one that's so great for like getting rid of a bunch of stuff you don't need. So it's not just like the list of day-to-day, week-to-week stuff. There's a little bit more. There's a little extra and bonus in there. We have a traveling list for when you're like what you need to have in your car to make life easier with kids. Because yep. I'm not saying pack it up until it's jam-packed. It's actually, you can really simplify that with just bringing the things you need. And then we've got like, you know, the family packing list and stuff. And then we have a new mom bundle that talks about the pre-nesting, or what is it? The nesting basically before the baby comes. So like, what do you need to do to your home? Washing the sheets and the detergent that's safe for them. Little things people forget and then go, oh crap. And then the what to take to the hospital list. It's awesome. It's just all the things that we experienced that we sat down on our own laptop and made a Word document of years ago. We just decided to share, and it was so powerful.
So
it
crazy.
Just was crazy, you know?
So I just want to say one thing to anybody listening to this, that you think you have an idea and you're like, that's so insanely simple. No one would want this because it's so simple.
I know.
This is proof that it's not, and that people want it, and people gravitate. People crave the simple things, and they gravitate towards those things. I mean, really, it's a prime example of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had over 800 orders last time I checked. I mean, 800. That's insane. I mean, we cried. I cried like a baby.
Wow. That is so
Mike
nuts.
Mike was like, because you know what our goal was? Our goal for the first month, we wanted to sell at least 40 to 50.
And wow.
We have, yeah, it's amazing. Well, we weren't saying, hey, you need this. Your life is just not going to go well without this. I said, look, do you argue with your husband? Because the problem for us was we never fought about big stuff. We just had big arguments that were created from a ton of little things. And gosh, that gets old.
Yeah,
and you're
it
like,
does.
What's wrong with us? This is not us. So we fixed it. And now, I mean, if we don't get along, it's because he probably ate my candy or something. Like, it's nothing big.
Right. Wow.
Great to me, though.
So, and I'm gonna include this on our blog post, but where can our listeners go to download those or to purchase those?
You can go to amandahedgepeth.com/print shop. And even if you just go to amandahedgepeth.com, you'll see print shop at the top of the website, and you can go right there. And we've got a bunch of freebies too. We've got three free downloads. We also have free phone backgrounds with like quotes and Outer Banks images, and they're really beautiful. But one of our favorite free downloads is, because we live on the Outer Banks and because we are beach people, we've got a free download for people who do not want to take more than one trip from the car to the beach when they're hauling more than one kid.
All right. We
have for five people. We've got a bunch of fun free stuff on there, so it's fun.
That's really cool. Well, we're going to make sure and point people to that. I got a couple more questions before we wrap up. And I think you hit on this a little bit, but I just want to ask this question really specifically. What are some of the good sides and the ugly sides to doing it yourself? Because listen, this doesn't just apply to photography. There's a ton of different jobs, trades, vocations, industries, whatever it is, where you have the ability to work by yourself, potentially out of a home office, just like you do. But as you're doing this, whether it's just you or it's you and your husband or you and a partner or whoever it is, what are some of the good sides and what are some of the ugly sides to doing it yourself?
I just told somebody this today on Voxer because I was having a tough time with daycare. And so we don't really have daycare. We just kind of use the YMCA, parents morning out. And then I get up at like 5:15 a.m. and I get work done before my kids get up. So the good is also the bad for me. So the good thing is that I have a lot of flexibility and I can bend my schedule and I can work around our family's life and stuff like that. And then the bad thing is that I have a lot of flexibility. So basically what that means is, you know, if the kids have to get picked up from school or there's an appointment or this or that, it's all on me. And I don't really have designated work hours that are mine, and I show up and I have this guaranteed 8-hour window. So it's so hard for us because we live on an island where we don't have a lot of options for that, for daycare.
I mean,
the good ones fill up really fast. And plus, if I wanted to go to a certain one, I might have to drive kind of far down the island. So yeah, the good is kind of the bad thing too. I don't know.
The good thing is that you're your own boss. The bad thing is that you're your own boss. And that can be a tough place to be. It's great. And it can also be sort of a nightmare.
It's kind of it falls on you, Mom. You know, you have flexibility. And, you know, Mike works so hard at his job, and he's great and he's wonderful. And we don't want him to miss work time because he only gets an allotted amount of vacation days a year. So it's like, oh, sorry, it's on you. And I'm like, oh gosh, give me a 6-hour work day and I will be in love.
Yeah. And most people 6 hours, you know, that's
I don't get more than 30.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's awesome. And you get it done. And that's, it's your full-time deal. This is all you do. I just want to make that clear. If anybody's listening, this is all you guys do is Amanda Hedgepeth Photography.
Yep.
So here's what I want to add. And these are the last two questions I have, and they kind of go sort of hand in hand. But as you look at Amanda Hedgepeth and the brand and sort of, you know, what you've built, what does the future look like? If you don't mind me asking, you're how old? You're in your early 30s?
Yeah, I'm 33.
Okay. And do you see yourself taking pictures, you know, 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years? Do you see yourself moving into education? Because I think a lot of people look at their industry and they're like, I don't know. Like, I want to be in this, but I don't know if I can do this specific thing forever. I might move into something else or I might transition elsewhere. When you look down the road, you know, where do you see yourself going?
That's a wonderful question. I think that you'll see me one day with a walker in my left hand and a camera in my right. And I will be that grandma photographer and it will be famous. And you'll be like, I know her. I do want to do it. I want to
That's
do
awesome.
It as long as I can, but obviously to a lower capacity. So the older I get, because I'll tell you one thing, Josh, it is really, really embarrassing when I am exhausted at a wedding by 9 o'clock at night. I just am already not it's because the kids and I get up at 5 a.m. But
right.
I still want to shoot to some capacity though. I just know I'm not going to want to shoot so fully. I've already started scaling down the amount that I take. But what's funny is we've accidentally fallen to a lifestyle brand and I didn't realize this was happening until we had a social media manager we hired say, Amanda, do you realize that you get 75% of your questions are lifestyle and nothing to do with photography? And I'm like, it's crazy.
It's really interesting.
I have no idea. It's a very weird spot for me to be in. You know, people asking mostly about simple life stuff, life low list, Dave Ramsey, which is funny because we're brand new at that. Meal planning, being a mom, it's funny, I'm not 100% how I would go about monetizing that in a sustainable way that photography supports us in the future. So I think I'm going to be shooting for a while, and as long as I can. I love it. Yeah. I just love it.
Well, in 7 years, and this, I'm going to wrap up with this, but you know, in 7 years, 7 years really isn't a super long time, but in the photography industry, it is a really long time, because 7 years is enough time to see some trends, you know, sort of come and go, honestly. Mm-hmm. And this video is the same way, honestly. And, you know, my question is this, like, how do you stay relevant? You know, technology changes so fast. Like you said yourself a little while ago, you said, you know, I used to take selfies, and this was like before Instagram. And it seems like Instagram has come along. You just sort of adapted to it. And Facebook,
yeah.
You've really utilized Facebook really well. I don't know about the other platforms. I feel like I used to see you on Periscope quite a bit. I'm not much of a Periscope user anymore. I got really frustrated with it. The app didn't work great for me.
I know. And it was spotty.
Facebook Live sort of became a more solid and yep. trusted platform for me. And so I just kind of moved to there. But like, how is it that you stay relevant? Because I just want to hear anything you have to say on that, honestly.
So with the technology part, I don't know. I'm not the person who adapts well. You know, when you just said I was on Periscope, I'm like, I don't even know what my login is. I haven't right. been in on so long. And the thing that's been frustrating me about that stuff lately is that people go, this is the new thing. But you know what? The new thing, unless it's Facebook or Instagram, never lasts. It just, to me, it doesn't seem to really, really last in a way that's going to bring them clients. Like, cool. It's cool for you and your friends, but like, it's not really bringing clients. Like my bride's not going on Periscope going, that's the one I want.
What's weird? Here's the thing. Facebook and like, I thought Twitter was kind of going to fall by the wayside like 3 or 4 years ago, and they didn't. They've somehow mm-hmm. managed to stay around and still be incredibly relevant. But Facebook, you know, they bought Instagram, and then it seems like anything that anyone else does, Facebook takes the idea, they run with it, and in some ways they make it better, they improve upon it. Like, mm-hmm. I really feel like Facebook is the only platform that's given Snapchat a run for its money, because Snapchat yeah. had stories forever and Facebook didn't. And then all of a sudden, one day Facebook had stories, and the phrase that yeah. you hear, even from like, and listen, there was a few years where it was not very cool to be a kid. And when I say a kid, I mean like 6th through 12th grade or so, maybe early college. It was not cool to be in that age group and on Facebook. And now it's yeah. cool again. It's just all of a sudden cool again. You're seeing lots of kids on there. They're posting, they're on, you know, they're on stories, and you never hear, I mean, I'm going to say never, you don't hear as much about Snapchat stories anymore as you do Facebook stories, because they yeah. Facebook took it, they ran with it, and they made it better.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's what, and they definitely did that with Periscope. Like, in my opinion, I don't even see how Periscope is still around.
I didn't know it was.
It is. Yeah, they got rid of Vine. Vine was a cool platform. I thought really interesting. Yeah, and
I think I had that.
I did too. I've followed a bunch of people. And mostly the comedic Vines, but, and I thought that was a brilliant platform. I can't believe they got rid of it and kept Periscope. But, no, go ahead.
I feel like it worked better for certain industries. Like, the truth is, my bride is just never going to find me on Snapchat. If they did, that'd be crazy weird. Like, I always think about, like, where do I want to stay? What feels like a safe place? Where are clients actually showing up? Like, and I know that, because I don't want to spend my time on anything that's like, oh, that's cool. But the bottom line for me is I have to be able to monetize it some way. It has to come back to being able to make a sale or make a deep connection or be able to change somebody's life in a way that I'm not going out of my way to learn this new app. But
right.
the only thing that I feel like keeps me relevant is that I always show up fully as myself, authentic to a fault, even to being embarrassed and being like, oh, did you say that? Well, that's weird. But like, I just did an Instagram Live and I almost tripped and fell over my office chair. Well, anyway, I don't care. I just, wherever I show up as me, and I show up really wholeheartedly and fully. And I've been doing that since the beginning, before people even figured out that that was like the golden ticket to being relatable. And
right.
that's that, whatever I'm on, I just make sure I'm all there when I'm there, and I'm using it really authentically.
And this isn't just you in person. I remember you posting a while back, sorry, I guess you're getting the impression that I follow your posts a lot. I was talking. I totally do. Susan and I both totally follow all your posts. But a long time ago, I think someone told you, hey, you know, you use a lot of exclamation points in your emails. You might want to tone that back a little bit. It's not very cool, or it's not very professional. And you were like, guess what? I use smileys and it's, you know, I use smileys and exclamation points. That's who I am. And you can, you know, you can either like, I'm not going to change it. Yeah, so you can either like that or move on. I was like, yes.
I remember people saying just, I think it was like people just like putting that out there. And I thought to myself, okay, you just made a post that people shouldn't do something. Who's going to book you because you just posted that? Like, what did that really benefit you?
Right.
Except you're just trying to like tell someone to not be themselves. So, and that to me is a huge waste of breath and time. So I think I saw that and I was like, okay, but my brides use so many exclamation points and smiley faces, normally way more than I do. And the funny thing is I don't like overly use it to where it looks like I'm like having a seizure on the other side, just like banging the keyboard. Like it doesn't look like I'm freaking out. You know, I just am excited, happy. And then I use my periods in there every now and then, but I have to have my voice come across in that email. I've had people, I think I did a blog post. Maybe that's what it was that you saw. Cause I did a blog post that showed an example of me writing an email with no exclamation points and then me using just the right amount. And it changes the entire tone and voice. I mean,
and the thing is, there is no,
I don't use them.
There is no just right amount except for you. Like there's just the right amount for you.
Yeah.
And that's why it works.
Yeah. And it sounded like me and it was really genuine, but the one without any, it was hilarious because I look really annoyed, or to me, I sound annoyed. It's just like monotone. It's not me.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, listen, I said I was going to not ask any more questions, but I just want to end on this one thing.
Yes.
So I feel like there's probably a person or multiple people to listen to this and they've heard a lot of really good things and they may be driving down the road listening to this podcast, or they may be sitting in a college dorm somewhere, or maybe who knows what's going on, but somebody's listening to this, they heard something that they love, their heart's beating faster and they're like, oh my gosh, I can do this. Like I just heard somebody else, like if they can do it, I can do it. And they're like super excited and they're just a little bit hesitant. Like what would you tell that person out there who's listening to this, who has some talent and wants to make something happen, but they're just like, gosh, they're just like right on the edge. They're just slightly scared to make that jump. Like, what would you tell? Like, you're sitting down looking at them. This is your opportunity. What would you tell that person to help them get over that fear and just go for it?
I think I would have to tell them that the pain of never going through at least trying will never leave them. And they will always carry around the fact that they didn't try. It's going to creep up when they're doing something else one day. And when they know they didn't at least give it a try, that feeling's not going to just leave. You know, it's going to be there and it's definitely worth going for. I mean, I've been reading so much about this stuff lately. And I feel like the number one thing that people are scared of is not necessarily like failure, like it doesn't work out, but more of judgment of like, well, my parents don't think it's a real job, or it's always something like, well, people don't take it seriously. And I'm like, oh my gosh, listen, you might not be going to be a doctor or a lawyer, but doctors and lawyers need pictures too. And this is an important
such
job.
A great point of view.
It's true. And at the end of the day, of the life, everything, this is just such an important gift to be able to give people. And I never regret going for it. I mean, the truth is, Mike and I know for a fact, we would not have three children if I hadn't done this job. We would not live on the Outer Banks at all. We would be different people. I don't even know what our marriage would look like. The fact that we went through this was definitely the biggest thing that changed our lives. And living in regret and living in like, what if, is just, it's, life is way too short to wonder what you could have done, especially with all the resources and abilities to like actually make this happen nowadays.
Yeah. There's so much available to so many at such a low price.
Yeah.
It's insane. If you wanted to do what either of us are doing right now, 20 years ago, it cost you four times as much. There would be no information and it really would be the biggest risk.
Oh, and people wouldn't be willing to help you. That's the biggest thing. Like that was not a thing.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing. And I like that.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, listen, this has been awesome. I think we could go another hour or two, to be honest with you. It's so helpful. It's so helpful.
Susan,
it's great to hear you talk.
Yeah, you guys together. You're not going to stop.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Listen, I just want to thank you again. This has been so incredible. I know people are just going to love this. And tell us that website one more time where we can go get your Life Flow list. I just want to hear it one more time.
Yeah, it's just AmandaHedgepeth.com. You can do /print shop, but you can just also go to AmandaHedgepeth.com. And, you know, our menu's right at the very top of the website, so it's really easy to navigate. And then Amanda Hedgepeth blog. It is Amanda Hedgepeth, P-E-T-H. It's weird. I love my husband.
Do I say I say your name right?
You do. It's okay, a miracle.
Good. Wow.
Yes.
Add that to the list of good things I do. No, just kidding.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Wow. How awesome is she?
She's amazing.
I'm serious. And, you know, I try not to do the Owen Wilson line and just be like, wow, wow. But I swear I did that like 15 times because I would hear something and I know her pretty well. I know her story. I know a lot about how she operates her business, but there was just some things in there that I didn't know and I didn't expect. And I just, the whole time, I just felt myself going like, man, there's just a lot to learn from her. So I hope you guys have learned a lot from this. If you didn't catch her website earlier, it's AmandaHedgepeth.com. And if not, you can just Google, pretty sure you just tap in Amanda and Amanda Hedgepeth comes up. No, I mean, she really is. She's the real deal. And we just love her to death. So we're super grateful. Join us next time for Full Time Hustle. We've got a lot of great topics. This is one great guest, and it's the first of many really, really, really awesome people. So get ready, buckle up. We're just getting started. We'll see you next time. Full Time Hustle is a Fowler Studios production. It's produced and written by Josh and Susan Fowler with help from Joelle and Anklin. Our theme music is composed by Isaac Joel and can be licensed among many other songs at soundstripe.com.